All right, happy Sabbath again to all of you. Certainly a privilege to be able to share the good news as God's mercy is extended towards us much further than we can see as the song goes. I have a lot of information today, ladies and gentlemen, so I perhaps won't be able to cover it all, but so many things have happened this week that we really need to take stock. Now let me ask you, just as a, you know, trivia, when they say peace, peace, what comes to your mind? If, you know, the Bible talks about when they say peace, peace, what comes to your mind? All right.
Yes. Jesus coming back.
All right, that's one. But it's generally used in a negative way. And so we will touch on that. Let me ask you again, what about the Institute of Peace? Has anybody ever heard of that? Institute of Peace. Did you know that the United States have an Institute of Peace? Been in operation since 1984. Was signed into law by Ronald Reagan. You don't hear much about it. But they renamed the headquarters the Donald J. Trump Institute of Peace.
What was the original name?
United States Institute of Peace.
And they renamed it.
Yes. Mr. Trump gave him that name this week on the 4th of December. I want us to pay close attention. Because some leaders met at the Donald J. Trump Institute of Peace, recently so named by the State Department. That's what the State Department, the United States State Department, they give it that name. And I look at the picture with his name up there. It was like, you know, Richard B. Russell building downtown. You have Donald J. Trump Institute of Peace. Well, what they're saying is they're celebrating the fact that Donald Trump is the greatest peace president. That's what they're saying. And in his honor, they're naming that building on the really the old thing, Donald J. Trump Institute of Peace. I want you to take note, folks, because the leaders of Rwanda and the Democratic Republic of Congo were among some of the latest people to sign a peace agreement, either December 4th or 5th, I need to double check the date. And so, what does this mean? I want you to take note. Democratic Republic of Congo and Rwanda signed this declaration at the Institute of Peace a couple days ago. Well, let me tell you what it means. It means war. Yes, I know, it means war, and we'll prove that as we go along. Because Germany has become a military machine and expanding. I want you to take note, folks, especially you youngsters. There's a gentleman, he's about 73 years old. He's the president of a country. The Bible says he's going to do some things during his lifetime. Unless there's somebody else come and fit his exact profile, this is him. So he's 73 years old now. So how long do you think it will take him to fulfill that prophecy? Let's say, you think he's going to be a leader when he's 100? So less than 30 years, that prophecy can be fulfilled. We are on the brink of war and the world doesn't know it. I am saying to you, Germany has become a military machine and they are expanding. They turned this Volkswagen, which used to be a car factory, into armament factory. They're making tanks and other military machines and rockets there. India, I want you to notice now, India is hosting Moscow. When I say Moscow, I'm talking about the president of Russia, that's Mr. Putin. India is hosting him right now. I'll be paying attention. India is hosting Moscow. Remember now, Russia is at war and India is one of the major buyer of oil. Well, they're saying they're cutting back this week. But I want you to notice now, they're hosting in Russia. All right? Now, let's take it a step further. Beijing or China, they recently hosted Russia and Korea, North Korea. And at the same time, Russia is intensifying its zeal to recreate a new and improved USSR. What does that stand for? United Soviet Socialist Republic. That's what the Soviet Union used to be called. USSR, United Soviet Socialist Republic. I know a lot about these people. I got a scholarship to study at Lumumba People's Friendship University in Russia. They want so many documentation from me, I decided, no, I'm not going to take it. All right. But they are big in their expense worldwide. A lot of people don't realize it. So I study these folks. I've been doing it since 1965. Now, they're trying to rebuild Mr. Putin, the current leader, is trying to rebuild the USSR. Now, most people don't believe it. Folks, wake up. Wake up. The people in the church should be paying close attention. You cannot go beyond the Bible. The Bible is very clear. We'll talk about that as we go along. Now, it is not possible for him to build the Soviet Empire without Ukraine. He has to control Ukraine. Ukraine has to be a part of it. So somehow, somewhere, somebody in the West is going to sell out Ukraine and he's going to take over. But I want you to pay close attention to what is going on. Because I'm not taking sides in this thing after... Do what God says and preach the way it is. Now, the folks don't know it. Because the problem could be solved if people are willing to do what is right, but they won't. So pay close attention. Because according to Adolf Hitler, you can go back in the archives, he says we cannot have war without food or grain, as he put it, or people. So you must have people. You must have food in order to have war. Now, think about this. Now you see the source of the 200 million army led by Russia. Let's go to the book of Revelation, the 9th chapter. This is the sixth seal. I want you to see this with your own eyes. So turn with me to Revelation chapter 9. The sixth seal has just been opened. And it turns into seven trumpets. And the sixth of the seven trumpet is just sounding in verse 13. Let's back up and pick up a few more. We'll start in verse 10. They had, verse 9, they had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running in battle. Well, we call this helicopter today. It looks like a bug with wings and sound like merry chariots. Verse 10 says, they had tails like unto scorpions, and they were stings in their tail, in other words, sting a missile. And their power was to hurt men for 5 months. I want you to notice this now. They're going to hurt people. Folks, if you, for whatever reason, miss any of this, go back and listen to the recording today, please. You don't want to miss it. All of you youngsters that are below 40 years old, you're going to be involved in this. This young man over here, he's only 3 years old, but we're going to pray for him because we don't want him in this war. Well, I say you can't have war without people. They had a king over them, these things, which is the angel of the bottomless pit. So you had a king over them, which is Satan the devil, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue, his name is Apollyon, one who is past, one woe is past, and behold, here comes two more woes shortly thereafter. That's verse 12. And verse 13 says now, and the sixth angel sounded. Remember, the seventh seal has become, it breaks up and it comes, it expands into seven trumpets, and this is the sixth of them sounding. That means this shall before Jesus return. There's only one after that. And so the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from him, from the four horns of the golden altar, which is in before God, say to the sixth angel, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river, the Euphrates. Where is the Euphrates River? It is running now right there, you know, southern Turkey and so on, go in Iraq. So loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates, and the four angels were loosened, and which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year to slay a third part of men. So one third of mankind is going to be killed when these angels are loosed. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. That means 200 million. Now listen to me. The total population of Russia is 145 million. They cannot produce 200 million men in their army. That's why they have to keep getting people from other countries, and they keep, you know, kidnapping kids and so on. It's not new. The Allies, when they went to Germany and defeated Germany, a lot of the little soldiers, they were little kids, 12 years old. They gave them guns and so on and put on helmets on them. They didn't know what to do. They were little kids. Germany ran out of men. And part of what the agreement that Stalin had made with Hitler was that Stalin would give them grain or, you know, wheat and stuff like that to be at peace with him. They still invaded Hitler. I mean, invaded Russia after. Goes to show that kind of peace that they signed. But my point was, they were getting grain which was grown where? In Ukraine. Go back and look at the videos. The moment the train passed into Germany, the German troops left to go to Russia. They get the grain now, we don't need Russia no more, let's go fight them. Now I'm saying to you that 200 men are getting ready to cross the Euphrates River. I heard the number of them. He's emphasizing this in case you have any doubts. I heard the number of them. 200 million. Where are these people going to come from? They're going to come from China. They're going to come from India. They're going to come from Pakistan, and along with them comes, you know, Japan, and then you have the other countries, but they're going to be men. In order to produce that much, Russia don't have it, but Russia is going to be over there. So when you see Mr. Xi Jinping over there, having hosted Mr. Putin a few weeks ago, I think probably a couple months, I don't remember how long it was. And then you see India over there now. Go back and look at it. I think it was just last week. Mr. Putin was down there visiting their buddies. And they're getting ready to put that army together, and the people are not paying attention. I just told you that we are fulfilling our part of the prophecy, as well as they are fulfilling their part of the prophecy, because they have to come together in order to have that army of 200 million. You can't have an army that exists by itself. Somebody have to really coordinate things. And that is what Mr. Putin is going to do with Russia. So my point here, ladies and gentlemen, we see that prophecy coming to pass right before our very eyes. Not most people don't look at it that way. They just think, oh, they're just making a regular state visit. They're wrong. Now back to this thing, because the title of this message today is that they shall say peace. That's it. So let's just look at this for a minute. A list of the peace deals. The gentleman who says he wants to be known as the peace president, because there was a leader before, you know, back in the 30s, who went and have a peace deal. And historians look at that now and say, oh man, that was a very unwise decision. And you have people today who are busy running to Moscow, they run into Alaska, they run into Paris, they run into Berlin, they run into London, they're discussing peace. Well, let's look at some of the peace deals that our current president of the United States have made. You heard of the Abraham Accords? Several Arab nations signed this thing in September 2020. You know, a declaration of peace and so on between Israel and the United Arab Emirates. They also had Israel and Bahrain, a declaration of peace cooperation and constructive diplomatic friendly relations signed in September of 2020. Israel and Sudan, an agreement to normalize relations in brokered in October of 2020. Israel and Morocco, a deal to renormalize relations was announced in December of 2020. Serbia and Kosovo, an agreement to normalize, you know, all these things Mr. Trump claimed he organized, you know. The US and the Taliban, Afghanistan peace agreement was signed in Doha, Qatar in February 2020. In his second term, you have Azerbaijan and Armenia signed peace agreement at the White House in August of this year. The Democratic Republic of Congo and Rwanda signed, the leaders signed a deal a few days ago at the Institute of Peace. By the way, they're still fighting, you know, they signed this thing. They're still fighting. Israel and Hamas, in October of 2025, you hear about the Gaza peace deal. Israel and Iran, India and Pakistan, Mr. Trump claimed he had a major part to do with this. And he wants to be known as the peace president. Oh, he had another one, Cambodia and Thailand. He claimed he organized it in July this year. Egypt and Ethiopia tensions. They discussed it and, you know, they come to some agreement. All these he claims he has done. A few days ago he said this is eight. He has brokered eight peace agreement. You and I know peace is different from what these folks are talking about. What does the Bible say about this? Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 6. Like I said, this means war. I'm telling you, it means war. Now the leaders are blind, they don't know. Their ministers are like dumb dogs, they can't bark, as the Bible says. So they are not able to let the people know that this is a fool's errand, that things are not going to work that way, because it goes contrary to human nature. Listen to what it says in Jeremiah chapter 6. Verse 12 says, their houses shall be turned into unto others with their fields and wives together, for I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, says the Lord. So he's saying he's going to punish Israel. Verse 13, for from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness, and from the prophet even unto the priest, everyone deals falsely. Are you with me now? He's talking about a period of time where even the ministers are dealing falsely. They have healed also the hurt of my the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Notice now, the prophet Jeremiah is condemning this talk. Because they're saying, peace, peace. These peace agreements that we just read about, there really is no peace. But it's going to get worse. I want you to see. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall on it at a time I visit them. They shall be cast down, says the Lord. So here it is now. These people are proposing this false peace. are going to be cast down. Our country is going into captivity. Mark my word. There are going to be foreign soldiers on the soil in America ruling the people in America. All right, let's take it a step further. Now, they're telling you that there is peace, and I'm telling you, the Bible says, don't listen to them, because that kind of talk is wrong. This same thing is repeated in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 11. For they shall be ill and hurt of the daughter of my people. It's like they say, peace, peace, when there is no peace. The same thing that we just read in chapter 6 and verse 14. Same thing, exact words. All right, let's take it a step further. In Isaiah chapter 59, Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 8. Listen to what it says. 59, let me see. Did I say it right? Yes, 59 and verse 8. The way of peace they know not, neither there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goes therein shall not know peace. So what these countries are doing, they are making crooked paths for themselves. Because they're covetous and they're selfish and they don't even know it. And so we have a man that running around now. He wants to be known for peace. But it's not going to work out. He's not telling them to look to God. Because that's the only way for peace. And people are going to be crying out for peace. And some are going to really believe this man is bringing peace. What did he say when he was talking about Pakistan? I'm quoting him. I can solve anything. That's what he said. He says, I can solve anything. He's not going about things God's way. So he's going to have to learn some hard lessons. You know, in the book of Romans, the third chapter, I want us to touch on it quickly. Romans chapter 3. And let's see, picking up in verse, let me see, is that 17? Verse 16 said, destruction and misery are in their way. Whoever these people are, destruction and misery are in their way. These are people who just don't know God. Verse 17, and the way of peace have they not known. You know, it's not that it's simply, you know, folks just get up and decide, we're going to have peace. It don't work like that. You live the way that leads to peace. But you have to live. And where do you get this idea from? It can only come from God. Isaiah is saying that there is judgment on the people. That's basically what the problem is. I know folks don't want to hear that expression. They want to believe that everything is fine and hunky-dory. But it don't work like that. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, want us to go to it quickly. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You yourself, verse 2, know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. So shortly before Jesus comes, you're going to have the day of the Lord. And it's going to come upon the whole world. People are going to be caught off guard. I talked about that a few weeks ago. And verse 3 says, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them as a travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. So what are we saying now, large scale? What is this administration running all over the globe, trotting up and down and claiming now? We start this peace, we have this peace, and he has claimed more peace, and he even have the institute now named after him. He didn't say Jesus Christ, Prince of Peace. No, he said Donald J. Trump. Peace Institute. That's what he says. That's what it is. You can look it up on the internet. Let's look it up. Donald J. Trump Institute or Institute of Peace and see what it tells you. This was just changed, by the way, a few days ago. And they're celebrating, as they put it, the peace that we have supposedly achieved. Well, we just read right here, when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction is coming. And I'm telling you, sudden destruction is coming. How many people are they losing in Ukraine every day? About 300 million. About 300 million people.
Losing or using?
Losing. Some civilians, some soldiers.
300 million?
300 people.
300 people?
Per day.
Yeah, not million.
How much is Russia losing? Over 200. Theirs are mostly soldiers. That's why they keep getting soldiers from all these other countries. Remember what Hitler says? You need people to fight war? So they're following this script. It's written by the devil. They just don't know it. So why is this happening, ladies and gentlemen? Why is this happening to mankind? In John chapter 8, because a lot of people don't realize it. Many people are listening to this broadcast now. And we generally broadcast on the Sabbath, all through Saturday night, and partially on Sunday. We don't broadcast all the time. But there is a being who is always broadcasting. And he has an open channel that comes in on our wavelength. He comes in on their wavelength. And so people believe that the idea actually comes from them, not realizing it is from Satan, the devil. In Ephesians,
John, Ephesians.
No, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2 for a minute. And verse 2. It says, let's start in verse 1. And you had he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. So we were, everybody who's without God, were in trespass and sins. That's how the world is. So they don't know that they're tuned into the devil's channel, but that's what they're listening to every day. He's bombarded with them. He's not a polite person, so he's going to come through in your channel whether you like it or not. There are many people listening to me right now. Take a few seconds. But they can hear me just like I'm speaking to you now. And they have a wireless system. They can't see the waves, but they see the effect of it. They have a receiver to pick up those waves. Well, we have a receiver to pick up spiritual waves And we're picking it up from Satan the devil, who is always broadcasting. And what he's broadcasting is not good. So in times past, we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the broadcaster I'm talking about. He is the prince of the power of the air, or the prince of the world broadcasting system. He's constantly broadcasting, and he's doing it wirelessly in the spirit realm, and it comes through on all of us. And the only way to block this is for you to be filled with the Spirit of God. Other than that, he's going to come through. He can make himself sometimes look and sound like God. And a lot of people, you know, people tell me, well, God told me. No, God did not tell you that. What you're telling me is contrary to the Bible. I'm not saying you didn't hear it, but you didn't hear it from him. You heard it from the devil or his angels. Well, here it is. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. So he's coming through on their spirit. And they are not realizing that that's the case. And if we don't guard our heart, or they say guard your mind, you will fall victim to this broadcast. We got a lot of relatives and friends who are constantly being bombarded with this kind of devilish broadcast. So when somebody claims they can solve anything, that is the devil talking through them, because they don't even realize what they're saying. John chapter 8, verse 44, it says, Jesus was speaking to children of some of the Jews, and he said, you are of your father the devil, the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. There is no truth in him. So what do you think he's broadcasting then? On truth. Because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, that's his own thing. He developed it. He speaks of his own. For he's a liar, and he's the father of it. He's the originator. His father means originator. Or you might just say generator in modern Latin language. He's the originator. And so he's broadcasting 24/7. What is he telling the people? Well, Isaiah really described it as crooked paths. He's telling them selfish ambitions, selfish attitudes, vanity and greed, competition, hatred and malice, all these, he's the one who put these out. And he's putting them in the airwaves for humans to pick up, and people are following them. So you see this man now who is convinced that he needs to recreate the Soviet Union. God is going to allow him, because God is going to deal with him. It is not that we couldn't do something, it's just that the people who are in charge don't have the guts, because they don't understand what they're doing. This man is well trained in the art of deception. He can make Christians believe he's a Christian. He can make warmongers believe he's a peacemaker. He can make poor people believe that he's willing to help them and give them money and stuff. He can make people believe that he's a liberator. You ever notice all the socialist countries? They always come as liberators, and next thing you know, the people are bound. You know, there is a man I was saying earlier, There's a man that has beastly power. And a beastly desire to rule the world. There are several of them. But there's one on the scene right now. We're not talking about the beast that is going to come to take over Europe. Here's another one right now. Most people don't believe in. They see it, but they won't believe what they see because they want to think otherwise, because he has convinced people that he has their best interest at heart. I watched an interview between the president of Russia and a lady from India. I watched it last night, and they were interviewing Mr. Putin, and he says, she said, I went to Ukraine and went to Donetsk and those areas, and the people there are predominantly Russian speaking, the people that you said you want to help. They speak primarily Russian. Yet you are constantly bombing their businesses and their institutions. That's what he said. He said, well, you know, things like these happen. That was his response. The people are saying we don't understand because we're Russian, and he's saying trying to help us, but they're then killing off our people. Because most of the people live there speak Russian. You know why? Because he wants all of Ukraine. He just wants part of it. I don't know why these people have been so fooled into thinking that. I'm telling you, the Bible says he wants all of Ukraine, and he's not going to stop until he gets it, because the people who are in charge don't believe him. They really believe he's a peacemaker, that he's a Christian. He's believing in your like Catholic type religion, Orthodox religion. I was reading an article about him 2 years ago. The writer who's been observing him for years wrote, this is what he says, he's a vengeful, monstrous friend of the devil with all sorts of anti-God policies. By the way, no, he's talking about this man, the president of Russia. You know those leaders that they had that were in office back in 1917? They haven't buried them yet, you know. They keep preserving them in glass cages and stuff like that so people can come and look at them. This man, he is steeped in secrecy, deception, manipulation, aggression, intimidation, coercion. And there's far more about him that we care not to know. And he's serious about rebuilding the USSR. Folks, I'm telling you before it happens. Because within less than 30 years, he's going to get it. People don't want to believe. They think he's just there. No, listen to me. There's no Nazis over where he's bombing those people in Ukraine. Or he say, want that territory? That territory are Russian people. But he has to stir up the war so he can give him a pretext to fight Ukraine. And because the West is deceived, because we have so many people who love praise and want to pretend that they're Jesus when they're not. And I said pretend that Jesus, believe that they can bring about peace without God. It's not possible. Ezekiel, you can turn to it, chapter 13, verse 10. It talks about it. They promise us peace when there is no peace. Some people are even saying, prophesy unto us right things. In other words, tell us the things we want to hear. Wait a minute now. Is he a prophet or not? Well, he got a word for you. and you're telling him what to tell you, that means you don't want to hear what he has to say. Isaiah, the 30th chapter.
Or Ezekiel.
Ezekiel, third chapter 13. And let's see, verse 10 says it's similar. But I'm just telling you, I'm not going to turn to Ezekiel, I'm going to Isaiah chapter 30. Verse says, now go and write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come, forever and ever. So Isaiah was ordered to write this thing down for the time to come. Well, that time is now. Now go, verse 9 says, and this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. So we have a nation or a group of people, and they are worldwide. They won't listen to what God has to say. That's why they keep telling us, you don't have to keep the Sabbath. You don't have to do what is right. God knows my heart, they say. And they justify their disobedience. Verse 10 says, they say unto the seers or the prophets, don't see unto the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceit. That's what they're saying. Don't tell us what the truth says. I'm telling you what the truth says. Because we have to tell you that you won't fall victim, because the day of the Lord is about to come upon us, and nobody is going to be able to stand except those who are connected to the Lord. You won't have time. Now is the time to prepare. People don't want to hear it. Sometimes ago, this very writer, he was asked, he said, can God and the devil agree? Think about that question. Can God and the devil agree? You know what the answer is. Obviously not. So what we find then is every tool of diplomacy that is being developed these days, it's being applied now. They try appeasement where they're giving him part of you. They gave him Crimea. He wanted more. He take the rest of it. He wanted Donetsk. He set up fake election and then he took it. Then he want more. Then he say he want Ukraine now to be without a reduced army. And he's blaming NATO, when he was the one who flying drones over there into Poland. And I am telling you, he wants more. See, folks, I can understand when some people say, well, yeah, he got a point. I'm telling you, he wants back the Soviet Union. He said so with his own mouth. And that's what the Bible is saying. I just told you, he's going to be in charge of an army of 200 million. And those people cannot come from Russia, because the population of Russia is only 140 million. So you have to get them from somewhere else. Well, how else are you going to get them unless you join up with them? He's going to join up with them. One way or another, they're going to join with him. He believes that America is going to collapse, which it is. And therefore, after America collapses, because remember what I said? I've been saying this for years. The guarantee of the freedom of the world is done by the United States. That's how God set it up. And the day America ceases to be a superpower is the day when that peace is gone. Then it's going to be every man for himself. We're proving that God is right. The way of peace, which seems right unto us, is not good. The end thereof are the ways of death. Look at Proverbs, the 14th chapter. People are getting it. Folks, I've heard a lot of folks. Even many people in the church. They take sides. Naive. They're taking sides. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12 says, there's a way that seems right unto a man. The way that these proponents of peace are going about it seems right to them. There's a way that seems right, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Those ways going to end up killing us and cause America to end up as slaves. The people in America, most of the leaders, are going to end up as slaves. Before they kill them, they're going to take them away captive the way they did Daniel and Ezekiel and all these other fellows that were taken away from Judah. They're going to be taken away the same way. And they're telling us that is peace and safety. Either they are right or the Bible is right. Can't be both. The ambassador of peace, the Bible says, are going to weep. You can look up them up. I don't want to call their names. Look at the people who are running around advocating peace for Ukraine. When they realize what they have done, by the way, they're going to divide up Israel at the same time. When they realize what they have done, they're going to cry. It says in verse 6, Isaiah chapter 33. It says, "The wisdom and knowledge, and wisdom and knowledge, shall be the stability of thy times, and the strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure." Behold, their valiant ones shall cry without, the ambassadors of peace shall weep bitterly. The number chamberlain of the 1930s, when they realized and talked of waving those little pieces of paper about they had agreement with Hitler, the Stalin was so shocked when Hitler attacked him because he had just sent the last train load of grain to Germany. And the moment it crossed the border into Germany, the German troops went over into and started going to Russia. They were waiting. It took him a day for him to come to his senses and realize the mistake he has made. Well, these folks are going to cry seriously. All these peace leaders that we have in the land all of a sudden, who think they can have peace without God, they're going to cry when they realize the foolishness of what they have done. What does the Bible say about this? In Jeremiah, the 17th chapter. Because if they know anything about the Bible, it wouldn't be so difficult for them to catch on, but they don't. Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, and verse 5 said, "Thus says the Lord, cursed be the man that trust in man, and make flesh his arm, and whose heart depart from the Lord." These people are cursed. Our leaders are bringing a curse on the country. They are cursed because they don't realize what is happening. He shall be like the heat in the desert, and shall not see what good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, not inhabit him. In other words, they're going to be separated from what is good. On the contrary, though, ladies and gentlemen, blessed is the man, that's verse 7, that trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Are these leaders trusting in God? No. They believe they can do it. They believe they got it together. And I'm telling you, they don't. Overall, ladies and gentlemen, what we see is seriousness ahead. War, as I put it. Now, there's going to be hope down the road, but not yet. Because we have to learn, mankind in general have to learn the lesson that we must trust the Lord. So there's hope. Blessed is the man that trusts the Lord, in whose hope the Lord is. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. That's what chapter 32 of Isaiah, the 17th verse, is trying to convey to us. Because a lot of people don't understand this. And they somehow believe they can come with a kind of peace without seeking God. Isaiah chapter 32, verse 17. The work of righteousness shall be peace. What is peace? The work of righteousness. Are these people pursuing righteousness? No. So they can't have it then. I don't care how many documents they sign on whichever institute. The work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. That's how it works. My people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. Most of the people on planet Earth are not God's people. That's why you don't have the peace. These leaders can't bring it about because they don't care about God. They're not trying to seek Him. You know, in Romans, the 15th chapter, let's look at it for a minute. I want us to pick up something there. Because I don't think a lot of folks understand this. Romans chapter 15. It says in verse 32. Let's start verse 31. That I may deliver from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my servants which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy. So Paul is praying this, that the will of God, and that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and my and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. So here it is. He's used an expression to explain that what he's bringing about don't really come from him. It comes from the God of peace. That's what I want us to make sure we understand. Because not everybody understands this. In chapter 16, verse 20, it says, the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Who's going to take care of Satan? The God of peace. Philippians. Let's see if I have it here quickly. Chapter 4. Because my Bible doesn't turn as easy anymore. Need to get a new one. It says in verse, let's see what I have in my notes, 8, Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there is any way, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do those, and the God of peace shall be with you. You do them, then the God of peace will be with you. That's how peace comes. Not by agreement, just like that, that they're not going to fight for one day, then they kill the next. Remember that story we were talking about a few weeks ago? I wrote it a few days ago, where this German fighter pilot was chasing this pilot during World War II, and he tried, you know, his best until he ran out of bullets. You know, he tried shooting at his plane, and the guy was doing all kind of maneuvers. And then later on, he gave him the thumbs up. The very man that was trying to kill him, now that he's out of bullets, he gives him the thumbs up. Show you how deceptive this world is. I'm saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, Philippians chapter 4, verse 9 says, these things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace will be with you. That's how it comes. Now, when Jesus comes back to earth, ladies and gentlemen, he's not going to negotiate with people. Uh-uh. There's not going to be, because you see, people have learned, they have been listening to the broadcast from this prince of the power of the air for generations, and they are not going to listen to Jesus when he comes back. He's going to have to melt the flesh off their face. That's how it's going to be done. Because they won't pay attention. The Bible says he will rule with a rod of iron and bring his enemies to their knees. Every knee is going to bow to him. Because they won't do right. So anybody who believes they can go ahead and bring out negotiations and claim they're going to do this is deluded. You got to be careful of your talk these days, because people don't want to hear the truth. In Revelation, the 19th chapter, it says in verse 13, he was clothed with a white, with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Speaking of Jesus. And the armies which were in heaven and followed him about on white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he shall smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. Why is that necessary? Because they won't listen. They won't pay attention. Just like they won't listen now. Doesn't matter how many peace agreements they have. And he shall smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. He tread out the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty God. And he had on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's God. He's coming to rule, ladies and gentlemen. But we're not running around thinking that we can do stuff, you know, the backdoor way and have peace, and it will not work. Let's pick up a few more scriptures while we have time. Isaiah, the 45th chapter. Let me see, we're coming close. Because I got a lot more here. But Isaiah chapter 45. It says in verse 20, let's pick it up in verse 20. Assemble yourself and come draw near together, you that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven images and pray unto good that a God that cannot save. Tell you and bring them near. Let them take counsel together. And who had declared this from ancient times? Who had told it from the time? And have not I the Lord? And there is no God else besides me, a just God and a Savior. There is none besides me. That's verse 21. God is speaking. He's letting us know. Verse 22. Look unto me, and be you saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. People still not getting that. They still running around because God doesn't stop their breath. They think they can do whatever they want. Verse 23. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. Next verse says confess. Every knee is going to bow. Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth to set up the kingdom of God. And that's how peace is going to come. He's going to have to force righteousness upon us. You know, in 2 Corinthians, we've touched on this before. Let's go back here. I think it substantiates some of what I'm talking about here so people get a clear gist of it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Because the enemy is so deceptive, you have people in the church who really believe that somehow they can do things without God. In verse 3 it says, if the gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Who, verse 4, the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. How does he do it? Remember what I said? He's constantly broadcasting the wrong things. He's blinded the minds of them which believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Listen to me. Let me tell you something. I was talking to one of my brother some time ago, and he was telling me of his conversation with some grown men in his district. And he was saying that, you know, he was talking about, lamenting really, about the youth, the young people. And one man was telling him, there is no hope. You're going to have to kill off all these people. That was his solution, to kill them all off and start with some more. Well, that's going to be God's solution. He's going to kill off all of those who oppose him when Jesus comes, because he can give light. We can't do that. He can give. So he's going to resurrect them and deal with them later. But that's what he's going to do. He's going to melt the flesh off their face, because they're not going to listen to him otherwise. The only way to deal with people like these leaders, because, you know, there's enough land. Russia, this is not new. They've been fighting over land since the year 700. Go look it up. Since the year 700 AD, they've been fighting over land. That's how they get so big. They have 145 million people. India have over a billion people. And I was looking at yesterday, India have 10 times the population of what they have. And look at the difference. They have the largest country in the world, and they still want more. Because they've been listening to the prince of the power of the air. Now, they don't know it, but that's what's happening. So I am saying to you that Jesus now is going to, they're going to try to give him a hard time, but he's not going to play. He's just going to wipe him out and just go on. He's going to rule with a rod of iron. Now, Jesus Christ will demand and enforce the way of peace. You know, we were talking to this minister, I think we were at spokesman club some years ago, and he was explaining, he said, well, how would you deal with some of these difficult people? He said, you have a lot of ways to deal with them. You can just appear beside them, disappear, and they walk down the street, you just appear in front of them. You have a lot of different ways when you're in the spirit realm. They come to their senses. You have a lot of different ways when you're dealing with them, not that time. But it's not time yet. It's time now for us to learn to make sure we keep our word. So when we're going to train others to keep their word, we know what we are speaking of. We have passed the test. Isaiah called him the Prince of Peace. That's what he called Jesus. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. That's in Isaiah chapter 9. I'm not going to take time to read it. We have read it before, that chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. The peace that flows from his government will increase forever. But to get there, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have to pass this war that is coming. I'm talking about World War III and the Great Tribulation. We're going to have to pass through that and then the Day of the Lord. But until then, ladies and gentlemen, we have a task to do for us to hold the fort. I want to encourage you to keep on, press through, and may God be with you. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you in the next lesson. Because war is on the horizon.